Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy election day, and at least I hope it's going to be a happy election day on this Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. And very timely for election day. We have Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III on the program, and he has become not only one of my very favorite guests to interview, but it seems as a rapidly growing number of folks in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience very enthusiastically share that opinion. So I am not alone in that assessment that he is one of the best guests that we have on this program, and that is why we have him on the program so frequently. Today we are going to be addressing a very timely subject, A Christian Looks at the Elections Through the Eyes of the Bible. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III.
It's good to be back with you, Chris, too.
And Dr. Moorcraft is an author, and he's the pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. Why don't you, for the sake of our listeners who have not yet heard you on this program, inform us about Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia.
Gladly. Heritage Presbyterian Church is in Cumming, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta, Georgia. And it is in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery, which is a conservative and thoroughly reformed, very small denomination of congregations from California to New England. We are a small congregation. Our people come from all kinds of backgrounds, but they know why they're there. They're not there out of ignorance. They're there because they want to hear the Word of God pure and unmixed. They want to hear biblical Christianity in its purest human expression, which is the Reformed faith as expressed in the Westminster Confession of Faith and Larger and Shorter Catechisms. Our people are dedicated to raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They are dedicated to carrying out the Great Commission. We just commissioned and paid for a team of 5 men twice to go down to the border, the southern border, where we have such an invasion, and to spend a week, 2 times, spending a week preaching the gospel to the migrants that are down there. And so they went to Mexico and they preached back in February, and then last week to thousands upon thousands of people, and had many positive responses. And so maybe in the Lord's will, we'll send it back in the future, but we believe it's the responsibility of the church to bring the discipline of the Word of God to bear upon all the nations of the world by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that He has commanded us.
Amen. And if anybody wants more details about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, website is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, presbyterianchurch.com. And I want to thank Dr. Moorcraft for being so willing to be a fill-in guest today at the very last minute. We had a previously scheduled guest on the program who could not be with us today because of a matter involving a hospitalization of a family member. So we will let you know when that guest will be back on the program. And for anyone who had heard of that guest being promoted as our guest today. But thank you, Dr. Moorcraft, for being so willing to bail us out at the last minute.
My privilege.
And we are speaking about a very controversial theme that amazingly divides professing Christians. You know, I had a Lyft driver today. For those of you unfamiliar with Lyft, it is the competitor to Uber. And my Lyft driver today, his name is Ruben from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Ruben made it clear during our conversations that he was not a born-again believer, although he seemed to have a high level of respect for Christians, and he said that there are members of his family that are Baptists and involved in Christian music and so on. But Ruben very enthusiastically told me that he was voting Republican today. And he told me that he thinks that the Democratic Party stands for a lot of crazy stuff, as he put it. And he said, these liberals are doing a lot of crazy things in his very thick Puerto Rican accent. And the thing that is very amazing to me is that you could have a man who is not even regenerate, does not even have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he sees the truths of the fallacy of the Democratic Party and the Democrat Party, and the insanity that those who are the leading candidates, the platforms that they stand on, the grotesque, satanic things. It used to be that universally even liberals were horrified over late-term abortion. Now they celebrate that. They don't care if the baby is 9 months old. They don't care if the baby is born accidentally after an attempted abortion. They still believe a woman has the right to murder that child. And the platform of giving so-called rights to children, even prepubescent children, to be sexually mutilated surgically and through pharmaceutical means to so-called change their gender, which that is never accomplished. That is an impossible thing to attempt to accomplish. And this person, as I said, this cab driver or this Uber, this Lyft driver, immediately recognized there's no way I can vote for people who stand for things like that. And yet there are regenerate people who have the Holy Spirit in them. And it's hard for me to believe that they are genuinely regenerate, and perhaps most of them are not, but only God can know. But there are Christian or professedly Christian people out there who say that the good outweighs the bad in voting for the liberal Democrats because they think that the policies of these politicians who are liberal Democrats, even if they believe in things that these Christians personally reject, they think that they are more Christ-like in their concern for the underdog, for the poor, for the persecuted, and on and on. Do you share my bafflement over this, how you can have people who have very little education, who don't have the benefit of a new heart from Christ, do not have the benefit of the Holy Spirit to enlighten them in regards to biblical truth, and yet they could still plainly see something that is very serious, you know, has eternal consequences here, that these professing Christians cannot see.
Praise the Lord for his common grace. That happened to me when I ran for the United States Congress back in 1986. A woman who was an atheist, I mean, she professed to be an atheist, had nothing to do with Christianity, spent hours and hours every week working in my campaign trying to get me elected to Congress. And I said, Ms. So-and-so, why are you an atheist trying to get me, a Christian, elected to the Congress of the United States? She said, because you will preserve my wealth and they will rob me blind.
That's right.
So God's common grace can keep an unregenerate person from being as sinful as he can possibly be. If God wasn't merciful to the whole human race, the whole human race would be far worse than Charles Manson. And I think there's reasons, on the other hand, I think there are several reasons why professed Christians, people that would surprise you, people that you would think should know better, people who go to evangelical churches and Reformed churches, there are reasons why they throw away their vote on Election Day. And today was a very important day in the history of the United States, a very important day. It wasn't as important as some people think. I mean, it's not going to be the end of the world if the Democrats get elected. But it is a very important day. But Christians make mistakes on Election Day. That's why we lose a lot. And the mistakes are made for several reasons. One, because when they go in the voting booth, they vote out of ignorance and fear and not faith. They're afraid we've got to vote for the lesser of the two evils, because if the worse the two evils get elected, things will be worse. So we vote out of fear, and then they easily manipulate us when we vote out of fear. We know, they know we'll do it again and again and again. But also there is abysmal ignorance among Christians when they vote. For instance, you have both parties saying, today, saying the other party is destroying our democracy, and we must work hard to defeat the opposition to save the democracy. Only problem is, this country's not a democracy. It was not founded to be a democracy.
Constitutional Republic.
Yeah, the word democracy does not occur in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States. That it is a republic, and most Christians don't even know the difference.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand. My favorite political talk show host, I'm not saying he's a brother in Christ, he makes it fairly clear that he's not, but my favorite political talk show host is Tucker Carlson, and yet he constantly refers to the United States as a democracy. I don't understand it, because he's a brilliant guy. So why is it that people keep repeating that mistake?
He went to public schools, probably.
But
the word democracy is made up of two Greek words, mob, rule. And a democracy is a nation where the majority of people govern and control things. The majority of people maneuvered and controlled by people of power. All democracies degenerate into tyrannies. You see that all the way back in the ancient Greek democracies, they eventually became tyrannies. A republic is not a democracy. It's not a nation governed by the people. It is, as you have said, a constitutional republic, a nation governed by constitutional law, administered and enforced by men elected by the people to enforce that law. That is the ideal principle of the United States Constitution. That makes us different than many of the other nations of the world. For For instance, we have a thing called the Electoral College, which most people don't know about or don't understand or don't like. But it's the Electoral College that preserves this country from being a democracy where the majority rule. They just had an election in Brazil. And the Christian incumbent president, Bolsonaro, was defeated, sadly. There may have been fraud. Brazil is exploding. There are thousands and thousands of people protesting in all the big cities of Brazil. The man that won was a man named Lula da Silva. Lula da Silva is a socialist who has been in prison for 500 days. But he got his buddies on in various courts. He used to be president to get rid of the various charges against him. And he barely won. And here's why he won. Brazil has, I think, five provinces. The biggest one is the poorest one. And that's the only province that voted for Lula da Silva. The other provinces did not, so that the president of Brazil is elected by plurality. If he can get the most votes, he wins. And so there was one province where he got the most votes, and so they'll get the most welfare money. But in this country, that's not the way we were founded. We were founded that by men who understood what a republic was. There is a great book that I recommend to your listeners called The Hebrew Republic by a man named Wines, W-I-N-E-S. And he's talking about Israel in the Old Testament, which most people don't even know is a republic. In Old Testament Israel, they had the separation of church and state. In Old Testament Israel, they were governed not by the majority vote, but by the Constitution, which was the law of God. In Old Testament Israel, kings had to be chosen by the people as well as called by God. And so all the kings of Israel were chosen by the people of Israel, unless they were appointed by some petty dictator, because Israel was under their thumb. So it is amazing how the various political principles of not just the Old Testament, but the whole Bible, shaped and influenced the formation of our Constitution. So when people go into the Democrats go into office, they want to save our democracy. When Republicans go into the voting booth, they want to save our democracy. And so it's easy to manipulate people that are ignorant. And then also there's another reason why Christians, professed Christians, make mistakes when they vote. And that's not because of fear or because of ignorance. It is because of sin. Now, what do I mean? Well, everybody knows, you hear it on every talk show, you hear it on every newscast, that the Republicans believe that the two worst problems in America are the economy and crime. And that the worst problem, as far as the Democrats are concerned, is abortion. And what they mean by that is that there's the fear that the Republicans are going to put some limits on abortion, because the Democrats want abortion up to birth and after birth. Well, and we as conservative Christians know that that's terrible. That's a sinful attitude. But I'll tell you what else is a sinful attitude among conservative Republicans. The two most important issues among conservative Republicans are, number one, inflation, i.e. the preservation of my money, and crime, that is the preservation of my personal security. Me. That's the primary concern of conservative Republicans. Whereas the primary issue in conservative Republicans should be abortion. They should stand wholeheartedly, enthusiastically against the murder of unborn babies. Now, praise the Lord, We have a lot of a bunch of Republicans and office holders that believe in that we should have no abortions and that abortion should be outlawed without exception. In fact, the Republican running for the United States Senate in Georgia, Herschel Walker, said the other day, and I heard him say it, that he was against all abortions with no exceptions, except that the pragmatic Republican leadership said, if we emphasize abortion, everybody's going to think we're a bunch of radicals, so let's don't talk about abortion. Let's don't play it up. The Democrats say, let's play it up because we don't want to have any restrictions. And then the Republicans once again cower and play the part of a coward. And instead of saying the Lord honors those who honor him, we're going to stand against the murder of unborn babies. They refuse to say anything. So that abortion among Republicans is about the third or fourth or fifth issue that they're concerned with. Now, crime is a big issue. The economy and inflation is a big issue. Border security is a big issue. All those things are important. I'm not downplaying them at all. But when you can say that you're conservative and constitutional and Christian, and abortion is the fourth or fifth issue that concerns you, it's not ignorance. It's sin. It's cowardice. So I pray that this year, and election's not over in Georgia, it's time to go vote. And so if you haven't voted, I would encourage you to go on and vote. But make sure you're not voting out of fear. They can manipulate you and maneuver you if you are. Make sure you're not voting out of ignorance. They can manipulate you if you are. Make sure that you're not voting because of sin in your life, of putting your own wealth and your own personal security above the murder of unborn babies. Now, voting is a precious thing, but Christians can't leave the Bible out of the voting booth when they enter the voting booth. They must be as biblical in the voting booth as they are outside. What does the Bible say are the standards for somebody elected to office? For somebody who's a president or a judge, what are the standards? Does anybody know what the standards are? Does anybody know where to go in the Bible to find out what the standards for a president or a judge should be? Most people don't even know that there are clear standards in the book of Deuteronomy. And they say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, that is the Word of God. And not one jot or tittle of the Word of God, including the Old Testament, will pass away until everything God has planned is fulfilled. So understand what the standards for an elected official are. Understand, this is another thing. Understand what the standards for a voter should be. In America today, because we've been brainwashed over the past 150 years, we think it's everybody's right to vote. So we should make voting accessible to everybody about 18 years and above. Well, remember several things. There were several amendments to the Constitution that made that possible. There was an amendment to the Constitution as originally written that made it possible for slaves to vote, freed slaves. There was an amendment that made it possible for women to vote. But if anybody's checked your Constitution recently, it says that mature men should vote. That is, in the Bible, the people that were responsible for government of a nation were mature, godly heads of families who owned property. Now, that's pretty much heresy to everybody today. But there was a time in which that was the standard belief in the the United States. It's in the Constitution, part of that is. And you can see it even more thoroughly in the scriptures. So it's not just the Democrats that have destroyed this country in the past 2 years. It's all Americans who have forgotten what we were meant to be over the past many decades, who gradually have surrendered the United States to the enemy out of a desire for personal safety and personal wealth. And it's only during the Democrats that things have greatly accelerated. The destruction of America didn't start with them. It goes all the way back. So let me encourage Christian. Now, if a Christian, if you're listening and you're one of those people that voted out of sin or fear or ignorance, none of those are unpardonable sins. You can be forgiven for those things. But to receive forgiveness from God, you first of all must be convicted over your sins. You deserve his condemnation. And your only hope is sovereign mercy and the free grace of God. So the place we got to start to this election day is Americans, particularly conservative Americans, crying out to mercy for God, to God, for the way we voted for the past many decades and generations.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to go to our first break right now. If anybody has a question for Joe Moorcraft, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are having a family feud over your political views, who you intend to vote for, and you don't want to bring attention to your identity at this point. I can readily understand something like that being a reason for you not wanting to reveal who you are. But if you're just asking a general question on the theme, A Christian Looks at the Elections Through the Eyes of the Bible, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Dr. Joe Moorcraft on A Christian Looks at the Elections Through the Eyes of the Bible right after these messages from our sponsors.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-3000. 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. And if you just tuned us in, our guest today is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, author and pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. We are addressing the theme, A Christian Looks at the Elections Through the Eyes of the Bible, on Election Day 2022. If you have a question, send it in to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Now, you mentioned earlier that the most crucial issue that a politician should stand upon and that a voter should be looking for in what candidate he will support and vote for is the protection of the most fragile and helpless humans on the face of the earth, unborn children who are in what should be the safety of their mother's womb, and yet it could be one of the most unsafe places the human being can be in this day and age, because not only does the world legalize the gruesome, barbaric butchery of these children who are torn to pieces while alive and vacuumed out of the womb like garbage, but it's celebrated. It's enthusiastically celebrated by not only individuals, but politicians. But you will hear people say, well, voting for a president, for instance, doesn't matter if he's pro-abortion because he has no real say in that issue. Or you could go on to other politicians running for office, and the person will say the same thing. They'll say, I just like this candidate's fiscal policies better than the conservative, better than the pro-life candidates. So I'm voting for the Democrat over this issue and that issue and the other issue, even though he or she is pro-abortion, because they're not going to do anything to affect that issue anyway. How do you respond to that?
When we vote for somebody, we are voting not for just an individual person detached from other people. We are voting for a political party. If you are going to vote for Biden, you're voting for the Democrat Party. If you vote for the Republican, you'll be voting for the Republican Party. We're not just voting for individuals. We are voting for parties and their platform and what they want to put into effect and how they want to govern this land. We have also Republicans, a great many Republicans in elected office, who are so cowardly that they compromise even their own conscience. And they say, oh, yes, I'm against abortion. Oh, yes, I don't like abortion, except in cases of rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Well, now, what is abortion? Abortion is the murder of an unborn human being. You may not ever murder a human being unjustly. God told Noah that when you set up your political institutions, make sure they understand that if a man made in the image of God is killed unjustly by another man, the man that killed him must forfeit his own life. So we don't kill little babies because of the sin of the father or the sin of the mother. And Everett Koop used to be the Surgeon General of the United States under Ronald Reagan. Everett Koop was a great man. He was a Christian. He was an OBGYN.
I met him years ago at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where he was a member.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's great. And he had been an OBGYN for many, many years, and had seen countless numbers of pregnant women. And he said one time in a letter that in all of his career, he has never known a situation where an unborn baby had to be aborted in order to save the life of the mother. So as Christians, we've got to be consistent with the Word of God. Murder is murder. There are a lot of people out there, and many famous people, who were conceived in rape or conceived in incest, and their mothers chose not to abort them, and they have lived very happy and productive lives. So if we're going to be Christian, we must be Christian and not sell out when it becomes hard to be Christian. Now, all of what I've said so far does not mean at all that it doesn't matter to me who gets elected. It matters very much to me who gets elected, even though I don't like all the Republicans that are running for office. I pray that the majority of those that get elected today will be Republican and not Democrat for two reasons. One, to break the back of the Democratic tyranny, which is far worse than the Republican Party. And secondly, to give us a little more breathing room so that we can have more time and more opportunity to preach the gospel, change people's mind, and influence people. The Democrat Party is becoming more and more oppressive. It's making it harder and harder for Christians to speak openly the truth without persecution. At least with most of the Republicans that get elected, there will not be that degree of oppression. Now, some of the Republicans that are running for office are good people. There are some genuine Christians that are running. There are some genuine pro-lifers that are running. So make sure you know the candidates. My wife and I voted absentee ballot because I can't walk to speak of. And so we went down the list. We got a voter's page and we went down the list and looked at all the candidates. And if they were Republican, but they believed in aborting one baby, we didn't vote for them. If we didn't know them, we didn't vote for them. But that doesn't mean that a candidate has to be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect candidate. But it does mean we must know the people that have asked us for our vote. And so we voted the way we always do for the people that come closest to the standard in the book of Deuteronomy. They can be mistaken about a lot of things, and we'll still vote for them unless they believe in abortion to any degree.
And, you know, I know some of our listeners will say, here he goes again with that story, as I've told it a number of times on the program. I may even told you. But I have or had a friend. He has since passed, since this occurred. This friend was a local black pastor. And he seemed to, in spite of the liberal circles that he fellowshipped in, he seemed to personally understand the gospel and had conservative theological views. But he contacted me after I aired a rerun of an interview that I did with Dr. Clennard Childress, who is the former and the operator of a website called Black Genocide. It is an anti-abortion website. And I aired a rerun of that interview after Barack Obama was elected. And during that interview, this brother was speaking out against the candidacy of Barack Obama. And my friend contacted me and said he was so upset that I had this interview after the election, that I aired the rerun of this interview after the election, because the election was settled and now all I was doing was stirring up racial tension on Long Island, which is where I used to live. And I said to him, look, would you like to come back on the, or should I say, come on the program? He had never been on the program before. Would you like to be a guest on my program so you can give a response to that interview? And he came on, and I said to him, well, first of all, it's a mystery why you think I'm stirring up racial tension. Since my guest was black, that's Pastor Clennard Childress, And by the way, the specific website that he has founded and operates is blackgenocide.org, blackgenocide.org. And so therefore you have people, two people of different skin colors uniting over issues that we believe are essential for the Christian church. So therefore it's not trying to cause division, it's showing unity. But I said to him, secondly, what is it that you have such a problem with over those evangelical Christians who are so adamant in their opposition to abortion? And he said, I don't personally believe in abortion, but the thing that bothers me so much is that white evangelicals such as yourself are very often one-issue voters, and the abortion issue is the only thing you seem to be concerned about. And I asked him a question. I said, if you found out there was a political candidate, doesn't matter what office, could be mayor, senator, could be president of the United States, and you found yourself agreeing with every position on this person's platform, and yet the candidate was a member in good standing of the Ku Klux Klan, Would you vote for that person? He goes, absolutely not. I said, why? Because he's a member of the Klan, obviously. I said, so that's your one issue?
That's good.
And he was dumbfounded, and after stuttering a bit, said, but he's a member of the Klan. And I said, yes, but it's your one issue. And I said, and to be perfectly honest, brother, don't be offended by this, but being an advocate of the brutal, torturous murder of unborn children is far more satanic and grotesque than some moron being in the Klan and having ridiculous ideas and sinful and wicked ideas about the color of people's skin. As much as that's a grotesque position to have, to be a bigot and be a member of the Klan, as grotesque as that is, it doesn't come close to being an advocate of the murder of unborn children. So how would you respond to that interaction?
I would say that the worst crime that politicians pay today is they are for the murder of unborn babies right underneath their rebellion against God, and that's a sign of their rebellion. I think Christians must not be single-issue candidates, voters. I think there's a priority to various issues. But like, for instance, if there was somebody who was a devout communist and didn't believe in abortion, I wouldn't vote for him. So if there was somebody that believed this is a republic, but believed that there should be a constitutional amendment legalizing homosexual marriages, I would not vote for him. Voting is a very important thing to me, and I'm not going to vote wasted by voting for God's enemies who are blatantly, overtly God's enemies.
Now, when you say you're not a one-issue voter, what you mean, and I'm having you clarify this, I believe from what I've heard from you that you mean there is one issue, and it's not only abortion, but it may be other issues, like you said, same-sex marriage, legalization, and so on. But there are issues where that one issue would prevent you from voting for a candidate. But when you vote for a candidate, it can't be just because they're pro-life or just because they're against same-sex marriage. They could have a host of other issues.
Yes, sir. That's what I would say, too. And so things are not settled simply by getting the candidates we want in office. I fully expect Republicans overwhelmingly tomorrow to be elected to office and to come into control of the Senate and of the House of Representatives. I expect that to happen. I'm not a prophet, but I expect that to happen. And Christians are going to be exuberant if it does happen. There's going to be celebrations. There's going to be all kinds of joy and happiness, and I will rejoice too. But understand, if the Republicans become in control of everything today, that does not mean there's a revival in the United States. And nothing but a Holy Spirit motivated revival will save this money, this country from destruction. Republican politicians can't do it. They can't do it. Even if we elect them all, they can't do it. They don't have it in their power to do it. The church must repent of her sins and must totally submit herself to God. And so if the Republicans win tomorrow, I pray they do, that doesn't settle anything. It just means, number one, we're free from the Democrats. Praise the Lord. It does mean we have a little more room to preach and to teach. But it is absolutely no indication of a revival starting to sweep the country with the red wave. As long as the Christians vote primarily out of fear, ignorance, sin, unbelief, guilt, even if they vote right, there's no sign that there's a great spiritual revival. So I hope Christians, when we hopefully rejoice tomorrow when we hear the news of all the elections, that we still tremble in our boots for the future of the United States.
Amen. And we have to go to our midway break right now. If you have a question again, and we do have some listeners waiting to have their questions asked and answered by you, Dr. Markrath. But if you'd like to get in line, please send in your email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state and country of residence. Please keep in mind, please be patient. This is the longer than normal break in the middle of the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize their programming, including Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, geographically to Lake City, Florida. And they do that by airing their own public service announcements and other local things in the middle of the show. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So use this time wisely. Please respond to our advertisers. Please, if you can't purchase anything from them when they are requesting that, please at least thank them for sponsoring this show. If indeed you are grateful that there are people who share their hard-earned money with us in order that we may remain on the air. So if you really believe that, if you love the show and you're thankful for those who support it, please do thank them. And also send in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We are going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908 908-
908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, never forget to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, especially with Christmas coming up. What better gift to give someone than a gift that possesses eternal consequences? There are many lost people who have been blessed by God with the gift of salvation after they read a biblically based Christian book replete with the gospel in it. And the Lord has used that, even though the book is not canonical, but contains within it scriptural truths and the gospel very often, countless times, countless thousands of people throughout history have been brought to Christ with such books. So why not give such a book to lost friends, family members, and loved ones this Christmas? Go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Also, obviously, your brothers and sisters in Christ are perfect people for you to purchase the finest in Christian books from solid-ground-books.com and give them these books to these brothers and sisters, whether they are in your family or that you work with them or they are fellow members of your own congregation. Solid Ground Christian Books has been supporting this program since its inception, and we ask of you to return the favor. Thank them for supporting us and being one of our largest financial supporters by helping them to continue on and press on in the work they are doing. And that's not the only reason. Remember, you're going to be not only doing those for whom you are purchasing these gifts a big favor, you're going to be doing yourself a favor of incalculable value by replenishing your own library and for your own edification and knowledge by purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com. I want to thank my dear friend, my longtime friend, and first pastor, Mike Gaydosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, for being so faithful and seeing to it that this program, Iron Sharpens Iron, remains on the air. Before I return to my interview with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. I just have a couple more announcements to make. First of all, if you really love this show, I'm asking you folks to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate generously to this program if indeed you don't want it to go off the air because you love it so much. I want to take this time to also thank my guest, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, for being such faithful financial supporters of the program. And please, Dr. Moorcraft, always extend to the fine folks at Heritage Presbyterian Church how much I love them and how grateful I am to them and to God for them, for their benevolence towards this program, because you folks are truly being used of God to keep this program afloat. And I want to thank you and them again, my dear brother. And also, folks, if you want to send in a check, a physical check, rather than electronically, you want to do it the old-fashioned way, well, when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well, where you can mail the check at the local post office made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you desire to promote is compatible with what we believe. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. I want you to all always remember that I never want anybody giving their own church where they are a member less money than you're accustomed to giving your church in order to bless us with a financial gift. Don't dig into the money that you have set aside to give to your church weekly to bless us. Please never do that. Also, if you are really struggling to survive financially, please wait till you are more financially stable before you give us a gift. Two things that are clear commands in the Bible are supporting your church and your family, and supporting my radio show is not a command, obviously. But if you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, you have extra money for benevolent and recreational and trivial purposes, and you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, please use some of that money towards a financial gift to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We really need your help, folks. We've never recovered from the COVID hysteria and the mandates that have crippled many people financially. The giving has gone radically down since then, and we've never recovered from it. So please help us out if you can. IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church, sometimes even within minutes of your own home, as I have done with many people spanning the globe in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. So if that's you, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful church, or you know someone who is in that predicament, then please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address for sending in questions to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Dr. Moorcraft, we have a question for you from a listener who I think may be a first-time listener. We have Matthew in Reading City, Pennsylvania. What is, in your opinion, the best ministry that a young married couple could pursue in light of either a red wave or a blue wave regarding election results? Would a blue wave instead of a red wave outcome impact that decision at all? So let me repeat that. It's an interesting question. And what is, in your opinion, the best ministry that a young married couple could pursue in light of either a red wave or a blue wave regarding election results? Perhaps, Matthew, if you could clarify what you mean, because I'm not sure what he means by the best ministry that a young married couple could pursue. I I'm assuming that means the couple themselves being involved in ministerial activity.
Yeah.
I think so.
I preached on this Sunday morning.
Oh.
I preached to young married couples on how every young married couple must have a ministry. I performed a wedding one time for this Christian man and Christian woman. I thought they were great Christians. I thought they'd have a great marriage. And then after a year, they couldn't stand each other because they spent all their time with each other and they didn't have any ministry outside the home. When the reason God has you to get married is so that you can be more effective together, carrying out the dominion mandate and building a Christian civilization and leading people to Christ. So that's a very important question. And my answer to it is that your ministry will be whoever gets elected. Your ministry will be two things. If you have children, three things. If you have children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train them from the earliest days. Make sure they know the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, from their very earliest days. Secondly, seek to influence other young adults your age with the truth. If they're Christians, they probably go to a church where they need to be straightened out on a lot of things. You make sure you're in a church where you don't have to be straightened out on a lot of things. And you take them out to eat, have them over to your house, and train them and teach them to think and live consistently as a Christian. And then whenever you can, if you know a non-Christian couple, have that non-Christian couple over to your house or take them out to eat and little by little seek to lead them to Christ. So whoever gets elected, it's not going to affect what you do in your ministry. Your ministry is going to be the same. You're going to seek to win the hearts and minds of other people, particularly your age, get in a church that is thoroughly reformed, where the preacher is going to preach everything the Bible says and nothing but what the Bible says. And Chris knows a bunch of those churches. And then I tell young married couples there are several kind of relationships to get into. Get into a relationship with another married couple that are farther along spiritually than you are, so that you can share with them your various struggles. Then secondly, get into a relationship with a couple your age so that you can share the struggles you both face together. And then thirdly, get in a relationship with a young couple that's not as far along as you are so that you can bring them along and you can encourage them and you can teach them and take them to church with you. And fourthly, get in a relationship with a young couple that are not Christians, so that by your life and by your testimony and by your instructions, you can lead them out of darkness into light. So that is an extremely important question.
Amen. Well, by the way, Matthew, I think you are a first-time questioner. If you are indeed, send me an email with your full mailing address in Redding City, Pennsylvania, because you have won a free New American Standard Bible, as we give to all first-time questioners in our audience. And that's compliments of the publishers of the NASB and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, bbs.com. And we thank you for joining our audience and sending in that great question. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. He says, one thing that troubles me is when I see Christians, or at least professed Christians, who are conservative and they are involved in political talk shows, and they have warm, fuzzy conversations with those on the other side of the aisle politically, and it just seems like they're old friends, and they are as friendly as could be with them. And yet those people on the other side of the aisle with whom they are conversing believe in child murder. One example is Harold Ford Jr., who is frequently seen on Fox News having these conversations where there is very often laughter involved and the live and let live kind of an attitude. Now, many people will say that that is a far better thing than the hateful Democrats who accuse us of being Nazis and have nothing good to say to us. But at the same time, there's something that makes me sick to my stomach to see a subject like abortion being treated like it is a trivial issue. Should we have these kind of relationships and conversations with those that believe in child murder?
I understand the nature of the question, and I appreciate it. And I think, first of all, we must try to convert these people without letting them feel like that that abortion is not a big thing. It's very difficult for me to laugh and play with somebody that plays fast and loose with the lives of little babies. I will try to convert them if I have opportunity. I will try to change their mind. To do that, I will be friendly with them as I can. But I understand there's a great divide between us. And we must not, for instance, the preaching of the gospel is the savor of life and the life to some and the savor of death and the death to others. So we're going to offend people. Jesus said, I came not to bring a sword. I came to bring the sword of the word of God that will cut between families and friends. So I can't have a close relationship with somebody that doesn't care whether babies are killed or not. But I can be civil. I can be critical. I can be strongly critical, knowing that it's going to offend that person. But there is an offense to the gospel. In fact, the book of Galatians, which talks about the offense of the cross, the word there in Greek is scandal. The cross is scandalous to the unbeliever. And so many of the things that we believe, the unbeliever is scandalized by. He can't stand the thoughts of it. If we believe the things we believe, he sees us as racists or bigots, and that's the way it's going to be. But we must not be bigots. We must not be racists. We must be firm. We must be critical when that's called for. And whenever we have the opportunity, we must firmly and patiently try to change that person's mind. It's very difficult, and it can't be done apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. But I appreciate the man's question completely.
Well, thanks for the excellent question. And you just said something that I'd like your clarification on. You said that we can't be close to these people, but what if it's your spouse? There are people who have come to Christ after they were already married, and their spouse may still have these horrific views in favor of child murder. Could be your child, your adult child, could be a sibling, could be one of your parents. How do you not have a close relationship with them?
Well, you can love them, and your heart can break for them. But there will never be the unity and the oneness and the sense of oneness between you and that person as long as there is that elephant in the room. And many times that happens. That's not an exception. There are times in which a husband and a wife are torn between each other because one believes in abortion, the other does not. And many times that marriage doesn't last. But still, by your life, I'll give you an example. By your life and testimony, still try to convert the woman you love or the man you love. I had a man come to me one time who was an officer in the Navy. And I'd never met him before, but he came to church and he said, "Mr. Moorcraft, you don't know me, but about 6 years ago, I listened to some of your sermons on sermonaudio.com, and God saved me. And he said, I'm growing as a Christian. But my wife, whom I dearly love, is a witch. And my heart breaks for her, a real witch. And I'm not going to stop witnessing to her until she walks away. So the next time I saw him, he was rejoicing that his wife was a Christian. You know, there were a lot of cases like that in the early church. Only two grounds for divorce are adultery and irremediable abandonment. Just because your spouse is not a Christian and believes many of the pagan thoughts of our culture does not mean that you can walk away from her. There were a lot of situations like that in the early church when people would hear the apostles preach. One spouse would be converted, the other wouldn't be converted at that same time. So there are exceptions. There's no exception to the fact that you must love your enemy. And what that means is that you must always treat your enemy in terms of the law of God. But Jesus said also you must love your enemy. You must seek to change their mind if their thoughts and their ideas are destructive to the kingdom of God. And if it's your spouse, every day of your life you pray for him or her. And every day of your life you love her, and every day of your life you pray that through your testimony and through your life, he or she would come to know Christ, or your child, the same with your child.
Okay, we have a listener, Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, who says, as Calvinists, we know that God is in total sovereign control over all things that take place, including the election of evil, wicked, and monstrous people. After Election Day, when we are watching with bated breath to see who has won these elections on the television, how are we as Calvinist Christians to encourage fellow believers if one after another, unlike what we may be thinking will happen, the evil are continually over and over again being elected into office, and those that share with us biblical values are crushed? How do we encourage them using the sovereignty of God in such cases?
You explained that very thing to them, that God puts men in office and God removes them from office. And Isaiah 3 says that sometimes God puts evil rulers in office to discipline his church as being unfaithful to him, Isaiah 3. So you tell them, I'm sorry the good guys didn't win if they didn't. And I'm sad the good guys didn't win. That means, as far as I'm concerned, that we don't have any more breathing room. It means that it appears to me to mean that things are going to get more oppressive for the Christian. It's not going to affect the way I witness. It's not going to affect whether or not I witness. I'm not going to grieve as those who have no hope. God is sovereign. And I'm thankful if the good guys win. I'm thankful they won if the bad guys win. I'm sorry they did, because that means there's going to be more persecution and more oppression for the children of God. But the seed of the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs, is the seed of the church. So what these enemies of Christ have not yet learned is the more they persecute us, the more they try to shut us up, the more they try to mistreat us, the more they shed our blood, the more that blood affects the lives of other people. There was an evangelist in Romania by the name of, an evangelist during the Soviet Empire. And he had a very effective evangelistic ministry. And the communists came to him and arrested him and said, we're going to kill you. And the evangelist said, well, that's okay as long as you understand the situation. Killing me is the worst thing you can do. Killing me is the best thing that's going to happen for the church in Romania, because they're going to see my martyrdom, and my papers and my sermons and my tapes are going to be baptized in my own blood, and there's going to be a greater spread of the gospel with me dead at your hands than there is with me living. And they didn't kill him. So I think things, I'm not a prophet. I could be dead wrong. I think if the Democrats continue to control the federal government of the United States, we're in for a time, a period of real darkness and oppression. That will not affect me, my faith, my hope in the future, my confidence that God is faithful, because God is sovereign. And if he brings the Republicans in, it's because he wants me to have more time to witness and to preach and to testify. If he brings the Democrats in, it's because he wants me to witness and testify more zealously, regardless of the persecution. So that's the way I think.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to go to our final break right now, just so I don't interrupt you mid-sentence. And if anybody has questions, there are still a couple of people waiting to have their questions asked. But if you have a question of your own, send it to us as soon as possible so we can have the time to read it and have it answered on the air. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And RoyalDiadem.com is still extending to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing offer. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale for $100 or more of a piece of jewelry on their website, or from the custom designed jewelry that they may create for you, if that is your wish, whether that be an engagement ring, whether that be taking your church logo, your parachurch organization logo, and turning it into a pendant or a ring or some other piece of jewelry. Whatever your imagination can conjure up, Royal Diadem will do a magnificent job. I've seen firsthand the mastery of their creations. The son but one of the sons of the woman who led me to Christ, Joe from South Central Pennsylvania. He had a cross in mind, a cross pendant for a necklace, and he had Royal Diadem create this for them, and it's absolutely mind-blowing. So I know what they can do. And remember, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for a limited time, I don't know when they're going to retract this offer, but if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, they're giving us 100% of the profits from the sale. And I just found out, I believe it was last week, that a couple in Texas who heard the ad on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is having a piece of jewelry custom designed, and we have been informed by Royal Diadem that we are getting every penny of the profits. So please help us out. If you have any intention on buying a piece of jewelry for yourself or someone you love for a Christmas present or other celebration, go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. And Dr. Moorcraft, what do you think is the largest reason, before I go to any of our listener questions, I just have to know this from your vast knowledge of the scripture, what is the key reason that you believe that professing Christians in America are seemingly so ignorant about the freedom to vote that they have been blessed with by God himself and misuse or squander these opportunities? What do you think that the largest reason is that a professing Christian does this?
Ignorance, fear, or sin. The regular Christian is not perfect. He can be intimidated by this culture rather than standing firm against it. He can be ignorant of what the real issues are and thereby make mistakes because he's not in the church where the gospel is preached, and he is a sinner. And so I don't think there's any one reason. I think there are several reasons. And I think also, speaking of fear, I'll say this to your whole audience. Don't be afraid of persecution. I don't say that lightly. Don't be afraid of causing offense. As long as you're not being persecuted because of sin in your own life, or as long as you're not causing offense because of sin in your own life, don't be afraid. Blessed are you if men shall revile you and persecute you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they that were the prophets.
Amen. We have an anonymous listener has a very serious question. Abortion is an issue that radically divides my own household. My own bride believes in abortion. I married this dear but misguided woman before we were married. I mean, before we were Christians, I'm sorry. And now that I am saved, we are in constant disagreement over these political issues. How does a husband fulfill the role of being a leader in the home when he allows his wife to vote as she pleases, even when it involves sinister and horrifically satanic things such as abortion?
Well, my heart bleeds for you. And my answer to this is that God can change the heart. That's the one thing you never give up on. That God can move the heart as easy as he can move the channel of a river. In whatever direction he pleases. He can save the most hardened of sinners and the most blatant of sinners. You can't change your heart. You can't reach down that deep as much as you'd like to, but God can. So my advice to you is twofold. Pray, pray, pray. talk to God about your wife more than you talk to your wife, and talk to her a lot.
Wow, that's a great line. Did you just make that up?
Yeah, I just thought of that.
Wow, that's great. I got to remember that.
And secondly, go to Ephesians 5, and you be everything a husband should be to her. You live before her and serve her and love her as Christ loved the church. And don't harp on her. Don't continue to get after her. She knows what you think. Pray that she'll ask you questions. Go to a great church. Go to a church where the gospel is preached and the whole counsel of God is preached. You're going to get nowhere without that. But pray for her and also be a Christ-like husband before her and pray that God would change her heart.
Amen. And I sensed that a part of the anonymous listener's question had to do with, is a husband, a biblically faithful husband who is head of his home, supposed to somehow control how his unbelieving wife votes? Is that an overstep, overreach of one's role as head of the household? Obviously, politically in America, it is a woman's legal right to vote any way she chooses. And if she's an unbeliever, she may not be submissive to her husband anyway.
I mean, he should encourage her. There's no way he can control her. Encourage her. And if she loves him at all, plead with her not to vote Democrat. But then you can't go any farther. You can't be an oppressive dictator. Or somebody said one time, you cannot be her Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's great.
So you can't make her do something, but you can do everything you can to encourage her.
Now, how about a Christian parent whose 18-year-olds who can legally vote live under the roof of that parent or parents, Christian parents? Can they say, if you are going to live underneath my roof, you are not going to vote for Democrats? Can a Christian do that?
It all depends.
Or should I say, should a Christian do that?
It all depends on how severe the rebellion of the child is. I would encourage him, plead with him, cry with him, do everything you can. But it would only have to be, in the, my opinion, the rarest of cases where you'd say, if you vote Democrat, you're out of this house. Because that may, there's other things in his life that he could say the same thing about. I would love him. I would tell him that he's sorry the way he thinks. I would cry out to God for forgiveness for not being able to convince him. But it would only be in the rarest of occasions. Now, I've told fathers to do it before. I've told fathers to tell their child, for instance, I'm thinking of one young woman who was sleeping with this guy, and I told the father to tell her if she didn't quit sleeping with him, she'd have to leave the house. So there are occasions when you say that. But it would have to mean that the child was extremely rebellious before I would go that far. I would just teach him and encourage him. Ask yourself the question, why does he believe these things? How come I haven't been able to teach him? Because if he believes in abortion and he's lived under your roof in your presence for 18 years, he's not the only one that sinned.
Well, I'd like you for a few minutes to describe a book that you've written many years ago, but it's still in print, a book that may be helpful with this whole conversation as people leave the live program. It is With Liberty and Justice for All, Christian Politics Made Simple. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
That's a very short book. It has about a little under 200 pages. It's a paperback. It's gone through I don't know how many editions. And most of it is basically a modern application of Romans 13 to the present situation and how a Christian is to think and act as a Christian when it comes to politics. And then there are other chapters. There's one chapter on racism. There's another chapter on voting. And it is a readable book. It's a short book. God has used it many ways. And you can get it, a paperback or Kindle, at comprehensivechristianity.com.
Comprehensivechristianity.com. Well, I'd like you now to conclude with a couple of minutes of summary over what you believe are the most important things that our listeners should walk away with that you want etched in their hearts and minds.
Well, I think there's even an issue that's more important than abortion that Americans saved and lost are guilty of. And until that's fixed, nothing else is going to be fixed. And that is the sin of not recognizing the absolute comprehensive lordship of Christ over every area of life. As long as we're not committed to that, without flinching, and live in obedience to its implications, there's no hope for America. So that's the most important thing. Thou shalt, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So don't be afraid publicly. When you go to a restaurant and you have your family there at the table, pray. Lead them in prayer, even if people think you're showing off. Lead them in prayer. My wife and I have what we call facetiously our restaurant ministry. When we go out to eat, we've committed that if anybody gets within arm length of us, we're going to tell them something that's true. Waitress, another customer, we're going to tell them something that's true. We may not be able to tell them the whole gospel, but we're going to tell them something that is true with the prayer that somebody else will build on that. So we must stand publicly in restaurants, in the town square, in politics. We have some young men in our church. I told you about one, Nathaniel Darnell, who are very influential in the Republican Party. And they're overt Christians, Calvinists. And they're not afraid to let people know it. And there, whenever they have devotions at any kind of assembly meetings, they get me to come and preach. Not just to give a political speech, but to preach. They're not afraid to stand for Christ. People hate them for it. I just had a telephone call today where somebody was really criticizing this man for standing firm in the Republican Party. So when you are involved yourselves in politics, tell people what your real goal is. Your real goal is not getting conservatives elected to political places. Your real goal is to put men in office and have citizens that vote for him that believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that no law shall be passed in these states contrary to the revealed will of God in Holy Scripture. Tell them that's what you believe. That will separate the men from the boys, the women from the girls.
Amen. Well, we're out of time. I want to repeat the website where you can purchase Joe's book, With Liberty and Justice for All, Christian Politics Made Simple, and also a host of other printed publications that Joe has written. It is comprehensivechristianity.com, comprehensivechristianity.com. Also, the website for Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Morfograf, for living up and surpassing my expectations, for being such a superb guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. I I want to remind you to go out and vote if you haven't already, and prayerfully vote. And please do not vote for anyone that is in support of child murder and in support of same-sex marriage and all these other abominations. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.